I
have a lot of that stuff. No.
I can move it to this chair.
I'm got about 30 seconds. I'm sure the golf course is a little wet, David, but...
It is wet.
All right, the... Oh, no,
we're not ready yet, David.
Is that
we're
not open a meeting.
It's 5:59.
5:59. I was just giving a little prelude to the...
It's like
oh,
he's...
because out there it says 6 o'clock or immediately following.
Oh, 6 o'clock.
It's just 6 o'clock.
6 p.m. Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for coming. I'd like to welcome you all to the Economic Development... Tourism, Housing, Planning, and Transit Committee, the Karen Bender Library, 6th floor, County Office Building, June 6, 2017. The time is now 6 p.m. Mary, would you call roll, please?
Legislator Berkey, Legislator DeLon, Legislator Lapp.
Here.
Legislator Litz.
Here.
Legislator Mayo.
Here.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Present.
Chairman Maloney.
Here. All right. Let's see. Everyone was distributed the minutes of the May 2nd meeting. If there are no deletions, corrections, or additions, moved by Legislator Rodriguez, second by Legislator Mayo. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So carried. David, floor is yours.
All righty. Thank you, Chairman. And I thank the committee for putting up with me, putting that on, leaving that on your agenda for so long until you finally took it off. And so I do apologize for that. We did sit down. It's myself, Tracy, and Jonathan Effner worked through this. We spent quite a bit of time on it. But I know there was a lot of concerns from the very beginning. And, it, you know, it talks about the idea of creating a policy for the bus advertising. It would not affect present contract, nor would it practically, you know, the same people that do it now would probably continue to do it because they're the ones, but it's just setting a policy on prioritizing public announcements along with nonprofits for, you know, basically that, and we may be able to take some of our stuff that are on billboards now and put them on a bus. What we did add, though, there still will be, I think we put it at 15%, I don't remember where, so it wouldn't affect anybody that already has an ad. But also, the nonprofits and or the public announcements can be underwritten, and we put it so they would be underwritten, and, and 15% of that, of the ad may have the underwriting on that. Mm-hmm. So it creates a situation where, you know, we may be able to not only they can advertise, but by underwriting a cause, like, you know, maybe, you know, cause with opiates, I would really like to see something like the Ellenville School District, the high school, if you remember correctly, we had a presentation from them a while ago, and they did such a wonderful job on a like billboards and or posters, but they went nowhere. Mm-hmm. And this would help that go somewhere, and I mean that would be up to the county executive the way he carries that out. And I would, you know, hope that that would be part of it. You know, he can run whatever he wants to run. Now we put that in for discussion. We don't expect to vote on it tonight. We would hope that you read through it, digest it, and have any questions to ask any of the three of us, and we'll be happy to answer whatever they may be. But we would like to vote on that next month. So I would like to have, you know, we spent a good deal of time on it, and I'd say maybe about 8 hours or, you know, together, each of us. So, go ahead.
Hector has a question.
Thank you.
Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Donaldson, number one, first, I want to thank you for sticking with this. And secondly, my question is more about, so you incorporated other or looked at other policies that like where this has been done. So this is sort of like in compliance with like all FTA sort of like regulations.
Yes, yeah. Well, we used some boilerplate for the FTA regulations, you know, put on there so they don't conflict with.
With whatever we set up here, that it would basically be in compliance.
Human rights issues and so on and so forth. You know, that type of thing that was done. And then we looked at other places that did similar types of policies. And I would say that this policy here would, you know, be unique to us because, you know, we created, you know, some of them have no outside have advertising, some of them have any outside advertising, there's a whole bunch of the gamut. But we looked at the idea of underwriting and things like that.
Yeah.
We thought that would be important in actually creating it. So, you know, we would lose no money, even though we really don't make a lot of money on this anyway. I think it was a total of $20,000 or something in a 2-year period. So it's not something that you're...
But we could be looking at expanding maybe the number of buses that we're wrapping and that kind of thing. Because right now it's only like a pretty small percentage. Yeah, so...
About 25%.
That would actually help the college also, because then the college would be able to not only do that, get the bus, but then get it underwritten by someone.
Good.
David, I think I commend you for putting this forward. I do have some, we'll have some questions. I think the percentages need to be looked at a little.
We put them in. We're willing to negotiate or whatever you want to look at it. We're just trying to get something, a policy together, so we could really get our public announcements out on buses and do that type of thing and actually create it so it makes sense. And Dennis, you get a chance, please digest it. And any opinions from you would be appreciated.
Anything else?
Good.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. Moving on to resolution. Suzanne is supposed to be here. I think I hear her scurrying.
We can just do resolutions until she's ready. Okay. Or not. Or we'll do.
All right, we can.
does Suzanne want to go right now, or does she want us to wait?
About 30 seconds.
All right. I'll wait.
Okay. Why don't we start? You want to start in? Get through a couple?
Yeah. 188.
188, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County and Westchester County Association, Inc., Office of Employment and Training.
Second.
Moved in second.
Fifth.
Who's going to speak on that?
I can speak to it.
Very good. We have the floor.
Does everybody know Lisa, by the way?
I'm Lisa Berger. I'm the director of Ulster County's Office of Employment and Training. And this contract is a revenue contract for $100,000 that we'd enter into with Westchester County, who received a $10 million grant to help put long-term unemployed people to work. The work is valley-wide. I can tell you that we have been doing some of the work and seeing quite a bit of success. The goal is to put people who've been out of work 26 weeks or more back to work. They go through a boot camp. There's money in the grant for each person who's enrolled to have either an on-the-job training or for a paid work tryout. The paid work tryout is at the rate of pay that their normal job would be. And there's enough money in the grant for every enrollee to get training. And the training can include completing an advanced degree. The only caveat under this grant is that they enter into a healthcare career. And it can be a broad range of healthcare.
Okay. Legislator Rodriguez.
Okay, great. So, Lisa, it's great to see you.
Good to see you, too.
We should see you more often. $10 million grant. We're getting 113, and it's revenue, so.
We're getting 100,000. Yeah. It's divided between six counties, and the way that the way this worked is Westchester got the grant. They actually subcontracted it to the Westchester County Association, who tried to do the grant valley-wide without bringing in the individual county employment and training organizations, and had no success in year one. And so they said, do you think you guys could help us?
Got it. Okay. How did they break out the percentages in terms of this thing? Was it population? Was it the...
It is. It's reflective of the same percentage that you would see that we get valley-wide in state funding.
Okay.
Very good. Any other questions?
You'll let us know how it...
I absolutely will. So far, we exceeded the targets for incumbent workers that need to be trained, and we are more than three quarters of the way to enrolling the number of people that we need to enroll under the grant. So far, it's going really well.
Good.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
All those, Lisa, stay right there, I think you got the next one.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So carried unanimously. Resolution 252, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county and the United Way of Ulster County, Inc., Office of Employment and Training.
I'll move it. Oh, second. You figure out whichever one you want to do.
So I can just tell you quickly that this is to pay the wages for our summer youth employment program. The county receives $282,000 from the Office of Temporary and Disability Services, and we use that money to put to work approximately 145 young people that are between the ages of 14 and 20. We pay them $10 an hour. They can work up to 40 hours a week. There are 59 work sites throughout the county. I'm a little short in Highland. Could use like one or two more.
Sites?
Work sites, yeah, to put the young people to work. The United Way pays their wages.
Got it.
And the great thing about that is that they actually put them on their payroll. Mm-hmm. So the workers' comp and everything else.
We've also been doing this for a long time.
Well, yeah, a number
of
years.
It's a very successful arrangement.
And yeah,
what's our 14-year-olds doing?
Those are very supervised sites.
Yeah.
A lot of them, there are a lot of places that won't take 14-year-olds. The Y here in Kingston takes 14-year-olds, but they are so little that they can legally do. That it's hard to find work for 14-year-olds. And yet they're usually the most eager of the group to get jobs. So it's hard to find places that can take them legally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's any public service entity?
A lot of private businesses that take them. I'm trying to think of the name of a candy shop, ice cream place uptown that...
Diameter?
Yeah.
Candy bar.
She takes a bunch of them. I'm trying
about cemeteries? Do they work in a cemetery?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Actually, St. Mary's Cemetery is one of our best. We love St. Mary's Cemetery.
I got a couple locations in Highland.
You do? That would be fantastic. Okay, great. I'll reach out to you tomorrow so that we can finish that up.
I won't ask any questions as to why you have this connection at the cemetery, but we're going to move on.
Tradition.
Any other questions for Lisa? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
So carried unanimously.
Great. Stay for the
third
one.
Thank you, Lisa.
Right. Okay.
Is this hers also?
Yeah, it's hers.
All right.
It's off your
Resolution 269, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease agreement with 935 Associates, LLC for office space for the Ulster County Office of Employment and Training, Ulster County Public Works Buildings and Grounds.
Move.
Second.
Moved and seconded.
I can speak to it.
Well, right. It's up to you. Do you want to speak to it?
But I jump in and you finish off. How's that? Great.
Sounds good.
Yeah, this all goes into the upcoming work at the family court. There's a couple of things going on at one time. We have to move not only the Office of Employment and Training, but the Department of Labor out of the facility while it's being renovated.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, the Department of Labor is looking for more space. And we actually have an architect in the contract who's actually looking at some of the space needs over there, and we're talking about potentially moving the Office of the Aging over to the other side. As you know, right now, our seniors visit that complex, and they have to go through the metal detectors at the Department of Social Services, and we're looking at ways that we can improve that service, maybe pair them better with the Veterans Agency. Essentially, this building is on Voices Lane, where the gym is past like Enzo's, and it's one of those second of the two
it's
large.
It's right where Source HOV used to be.
Right.
At the very end, it's behind United Healthcare.
This would basically be a contract with the county. The State Department of Labor would be a subleasee to us and would reimburse 70% of the cost of the lease. The balance will use federal dollars that we receive in OEC to pay the cost. So there's no impact to the county for the cost of this office space.
Well, There's no impact to the county?
The county taxpayer.
Because there's a share here. I just want to make sure that I...
So 70% of the lease will be covered by the State Department of Labor. The 30% that's left, the county share, will be reimbursed the federal dollars that we receive.
Okay,
so...
There's no
county tax levy impact on the lease expense.
Okay, I just didn't know, because my question was going to be about that, because while I can read on here, it says reimbursable federal, so is that something that we have to pay it up front and then we get it billed back to us? Just given the state of the federal government, I just don't know whether they're paying back anything these days.
So we're
funding the money.
That's right.
All right.
Yep. And then there's some build out costs and whatnot we'll have a higher lease payment from the square footage rate for the Department of Labor, because they're going to cover some build out costs that they have for that space.
So build out costs. Okay. So whatever's being changed on space is being paid for by New York State Department of Labor.
The bulk of it, yes, because they have a lot of wiring and special requirements.
They do.
Is it the same thing where basically that even the part that's county share is still giving back to the feds?
I expect that all the costs of this lease and the sub pieces will be reimbursed from one source or the other.
If I can continue. So how long do we anticipate being there? Because I can see till 2021.
This is a 5-year lease. It's kind of up in the air right now. I know the Department of Labor wants a lot more space than we can provide currently at the BRC. And as part of this arrangement, you co-locate
more space.
Your Office of Employment Training with the State Department of Labor.
Yeah, okay. So to answer your question about why do they need more space, the space that we're in right now is non-compliant from a state point of view with certain safety requirements and space requirements that they now have for all of their one stops. And so what they would like, since we can't stay during the renovation, is to be in a space that's fully compliant with all of their own regulations.
But are we planning on moving back at any point to the BRC, or is it basically once we're gone, we're done?
I think it's open for discussion. I think one of the things we have a priority is looking at the Integrity Office for the Aging and finding a better fit over there. And that, quite frankly, the space that the DOA in right now might be a perfect fit for that. We have an architect looking at it right now.
Okay.
How many square feet approximately in the old Wallace's building, that particular square, and then
10,000 Lisa,
that's
two
what we want. Yeah.
But
I
no, family court is going to take approximately half of the building to the left side, leaves the entire right side. I was just wondering approximately how many square feet.
I can't tell you off the top of my head, Jim, but right now in that kind of that space, we have Department of Labor, the Office of Employment and Training, our Veterans Agency, and SBDC has an office there.
Remember
2 years ago when the county took over the RSVP program from the college?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
RSVP.
We have them operating out of that space right now as well. So there's a lot of reconfiguring and, you know, moving pieces over there to accommodate the construction.
Very good. Any other questions? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Thank you. Please. Resolution 273, approving and readopting the Department of Public Transportation.
Move it.
Substance abuse policy to comply with Federal Transit Administration, FTA regulations, Department of Public Transportation, friends, you got.
I was trying to save you the reading.
You still have to read it for the record.
I know,
I thought you were tired.
But it's in. That's why I moved it. That's why I moved it.
Non-confrontational.
That's why I moved it.
We have it moved. Is there a second?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Legislator Litz, any discussion? No discussion, Hector?
None at all.
Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously.
Well, I guess first, could we test Don first? Is the first test.
Here we go. Resolution 274, supporting a grant application to the Federal Transit Administration to accept and administer 5339B and 5307 funding for bus replacement parts and authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute any required applications or agreements to accept funding, Department of Public Transportation, UCAT.
I'll move it.
Second. Ken?
Don?
Ken?
No.
Any questions for Don?
Mr. Ford.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So to Don, Ken, Dennis, whoever else wants to go chime in. So I just want to just make sure I'm just clear. So how many cutaways, I guess, as a result, are we buying? So as a result of this, it looks like
three.
And then...
140.
Yeah, no, I can, and that looks like from 2018. Like, I mean, I'm not, again, you guys run the department. This is not for us to go second guess, but it's just more a matter of just that I thought that we were really trying to move away from any of those larger buses at this point.
This is just the ones that we have to have for, like, the Paul Street, the college runs. This is just, we have one that's significantly older than the others.
Okay, so just for that jump of where you're basically going between Kingston and New Paltz?
Yeah.
Because then some of those folks are also then going over to SUNY Ulster? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. And actually last year, we actually purchased a little, not a smaller cutaway, but a little larger cutaway because, quite frankly, the growth in the system has been pretty dramatic.
And there's
some runs that required a larger bus, so we didn't buy the super long bus, these 40-footers, but we bought kind of the step up from the cutaways that you were used to. We did those last year's authorization.
And wasn't there problems with those cutaways, those larger cutaways, in terms of maintenance?
No, not particularly. I think
any other questions for Don? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 275, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Town of Lloyd for real property for the Hudson Valley Rail Trail West Phase 4. PIN 8761.21 in the Town of Lloyd.
I'll move.
Planning.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Dennis?
Chris,
excuse me.
Pass. Lisa.
That was good.
Reverse. Back to Chris. Draw four. Hector. I got it. Wait, we're playing Uno.
This is the county's phase 4, which is the extension of the rail trail from where the town is leaving off at New Paltz Road out to South Street. We have 4 private properties we're acquiring, and then we need about 300 linear feet from the town so that we can build the trail to where they're leaving off with phase 3. We got good news that phase 3 is going out to bid this month. The county executive and the planning department had to call the governor's office for about 6 months on a utility agreement that held up the town. Our right-of-way acquisition is going very well. We have 3 of 4 of the private properties under voluntary agreement, and the only reason we don't have the 4th is because there's a title issue, and it's in an estate, and it's really not clear who owns it. And so we're trying to take the next steps forward to clarify who actually owns the parcel. So things are going really well on it. The town would basically give us this easement for $1 to build the trail. And once this is done, the town intends to take over the long-term maintenance of it. So we give them an easement back on it.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's really
going well.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good. Legislator Rodriguez,
yes.
Question?
And one last thing. This is now on the Empire State Trail. So the state has made a firm commitment to take this trail where we're ending it at South Street and bring it into New Paltz so that Hector can get on it and ride his bicycle.
Well, Mr. White, you answered my first question, but I guess we'll see what happens.
And
what's that?
Thank God for YouTube.
That's right. please do. It's fine. I can ride for a while. Anyway, more importantly, Mr. White, so we get back to the missing. It was you always seem like you're a little off balance. First you got 2 of 4, then you got 3 of 4, but then it's a different 3. So what's happening with
assessment, Mr. Rodriguez.
Oh, is that? Well, it's all right. We'll go back and just look at the record later, Mr. White. So that said, is it a scenario where, while I realize my colleagues are less keen on being aggressive, I mean, is there a way sort of out of this morass on this last parcel?
Yes.
And by that I mean, is there a more forceful action?
No, I mean,
if we had to.
We have had, the situation is that the title that the county gave to the owner actually had the names of both a father and son. Mm-hmm. The father passed away.
Yep.
So we just need to get a sign off from both parties because it's not clear. So the one is being approached next week about signing off, and then we just were in contact with the estate, which is down in Georgia. So it's just, it's time. It's, you know, we'll get there and we're going to move to construction hopefully by the fall. I want to have a shovel in the ground by November when we can do the tree clearing. So, and I don't think we're held up. If we have to do some stronger thing, again, we may have to do eminent domain against the estate portion of it if it's not clear that we can get clear title. But it wouldn't be an adverse action. It would be just because there's no clear title.
Let the record reflect that Mr. White said the words eminent domain.
Well, I mean, that's what you're suggesting, and I'm just telling you, we've done backflips make these voluntary.
Let the record reflect. I'm just teasing him. I mean, we've right. always known that that was a possibility. I think we've done everything possible to avoid that, and so it's not as if that's a first or second option. But I'm just saying, if at a certain point we find ourselves, you know, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, and we're still sort of stuck at this stage, it sort of seems.
The owner who was most reluctant, who came to speak at the public hearing last year, mm-hmm. was the first to sign.
So there you go.
None of us want to see him in the domain, but thank you for bringing it on.
Thanks for being our legal guy.
Yes. Any other questions for Mr. White?
I just say that has to be said.
Hearing, Herb? No?
Going to get ready to say aye.
All those in favor,
are you ready to say aye?
Aye. Opposed? So carried unanimously.
I feel like we should harmonize.
Thank you, Chris.
You can go first.
Resolution 276, authorizing the continuation of Agricultural District 3, Rondout Creek, towns of Hardenburg, Marbletown, Olive, Rochester, Rosendale, and Wawarsing. Department of Planning. Dennis?
Need a second.
Second.
Yeah. You had five people second.
The resolution basically provides for the continuation of the district. There's one sort of wrinkle in that resolution, that is that the Department of Inspection Board recommendation is not followed exactly. There's an exception to that Farmland Protection Board, right, and that's in the second resolve. There's a recommendation to essentially remove a parcel that was added to the district last year during an ag addition portion of the ag district to be removed this year. That parcel is causing some problems from adjoining neighbors. There was a deed restriction on the parcel, which the Farmland Protection Board didn't know about, nor did the legislature. It wasn't in the deed that was filed. It was in the prior deed, and it runs with the land. And there's been a significant amount of neighborly concern about the activity, which is about is duck farming. It's about a six-acre parcel. There's about 200 ducks on the parcel. My understanding is both parties participated in the recent public hearing and made some statements in front of the legislature in terms of the problems with the parcel, and also in terms of the attorney for the owner of the parcel also spoke and provided some data to the legislature, which indicates that they're in the process of finding other places for the ducks. So the prudent response has been suggested here to remove the parcel at this time.
Dennis, one thing, and I know it won't be part of this resolution, but I believe next month, I think this is something that needs to be looked at a little more closely.
Yes.
And please correct me or stop me if I'm wrong, but really, when after the March inclusion period, shouldn't there be a local public hearing also, or notifying all the adjoining property owners? Because I really don't think the public, even town boards, or, you know, the average person on the street really understands how powerful an inclusion in an agricultural district is. And they should be aware. I mean, you and I have had conversations. I mean, you know, I could have 2 acres and, you know, let's say my passion was growing garlic, right? Great, you know, an innocuous, hobby. Okay, and say it doesn't work out. Then I could restart and say, you know what, I've got an ag exemption or an ag designation. I can bring in pigs. Mm-hmm. And it's a, you know, it's all covered underneath that one umbrella.
Yeah, the Farmland Protection Board sort of wrestles with these issues, the small parcel issues. Anything under 7 acres is not eligible for tax advantages under ag district statutes. But the exemptions from reasonable restrictions under zoning apply to no matter how small your parcel is. And so what Legislator Maloney is talking about is effectively trying to weigh the benefits of putting a parcel in an ag district that's small with essentially the concerns that any agricultural activity once in a district is accepted, and the response to a complaint is essentially from the ag and markets to basically say, is this a commonly accepted agricultural practice? The farmers on the Farmland Protection Board will argue that small plot intensive farming is very successful on lots that are less than 2 acres in size. You can earn $40,000 or $50,000 a year using small plot intensive farming in those areas. Those of us that have some concerns with respect to these small parcels try to watch out in terms of how they relate to the neighbors and how the application relates to likely impacts on neighbors. That said, as you can see by the most recent discussion here tonight, occasionally those parcels slip through. We have, as staff of the Planning Board, which supports the Farmland Protection Board, began a process of reaching out to local elected officials, to supervisors, and sending them notes that basically say, these are the parcels that are being added in your community. If you have any concerns, express them now. And so we've done that. We've also started to look at deed restrictions, which we haven't done in the past as part of the application process. But can I make you a promise that neighbors aren't going to complain or that agricultural activities on these small lands won't impact neighbors? I can't.
Right.
I think we're being more vigilant than we were before. Members of the board, the Farmland Protection Board, are being increasingly concerned with this, but like you said, we do get applications that come in and basically want to have rabbits, you know, and they're going to raise 20 rabbits, and they end up with 200 rabbits, or they end up with rabbits and goats instead of rabbits. And so we do have one that is now a small parcel. It's about 2 acres or less than 3 acres or less than 3 acres that an individual wants to raise goats on. That's pretty small for goats. And so we don't know how many, we don't know how far they can grow. We did have a situation in Shangum many years ago where we had a 4 or 5 acre parcel where there was a goat requirement, the goat request we added into the district. They began to be very successful in terms of making artisan cheese with the goats. Pretty soon you had 42 goats on 6 acres with manure piles adjacent to the adjoining landowner's bedroom window. Yeah, the neighbors were upset, the supervisor was upset, and yet Ag and Markets came down, looked at the site, and said, this is a commonly accepted agricultural practice, and we're not going to basically make a move. So there is that powerful exemption.
In that context, that story, didn't the local regulation only allow like 6 goats?
Yes. Yeah.
That's, you know, the Ag designation totally runs over the local zoning. If zoning says you can have 6, you can have 60 once you get the designation.
So we're trying to be much more sensitive to why people are applying. They're trying to avoid local zoning. We try to make sure that we know that, and if that's the case, not put them in, because there's a fight going on between the local zoning and the ag, and that's the reason to be in ag districts. I'll give you the other examples in Woodstock where there was a proposal to put in the Woodstock Animal Sanctuary because they were having problems because of the fundraising and other kinds of things that take place at the animal sanctuary. They've since moved, but they asked to be added to the district. There was a long discussion from the Farmland Protection Board about why they should or shouldn't be in. But agritourism would allow these kinds of events to occur no matter if once they got in, they wouldn't have that issue with trying to deal with these people visiting the farm or visiting the animal sanctuary because they'd be considered agritourism. It's it's something we have to be aware of, but it doesn't necessarily, and I certainly would hope that we would continue to add these small plots with some caution in terms of what the adjoining land uses are.
Okay. Just so I'm clear, did you say you sent letters to adjoining property owners in this?
Not adjoining property owners, to the town officials.
Okay.
Not to adjoining property owners. We have not begun a situation where, nor is it required to notify adjoining property.
Okay. But do you send them every year to each supervisor?
We will from now on.
You will from now on. Okay. Very good. All right. Any other discussion on the resolution?
Nope.
Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried unanimously. Under new business, Resolution 282, we heard Legislator Donaldson at the beginning of the meeting describe his resolution for establishing a bus policy for advertising, and Legislator Rodriguez and I, under old business, had a discussion. We're going to postpone. Very good.
I'll move that this time.
Very good. All right. Anything else? Oh, Suzanne Holt.
Me.
Mr. Chair, do you want to take a quick formal vote on postponement?
Yes. Motion second.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Legislator Rodriguez. So, Suzanne, the floor is yours. You have a little cold?
I have a big cold.
So. All right, great.
Well, that was really great. I'll see you next month.
I can just see if I didn't come, and then they would say, well, you weren't in the hospital. Why weren't you there? So.
Well, that would be Legislator Rodriguez. Yeah. No one else would say that.
You could always move the meeting to the hospital.
I'm not in the hospital.
Hector,
so
did you get up and move for a reason?
Maybe.
I will make this very quick. I missed you guys. I haven't seen you in 3 months. I figured you would. So this is the big exciting news. This is our Ulster County's new economic development guide. Chair Maloney had a great idea that we should have a guide like this. Some of the neighboring counties have them, and so we worked really hard. We did an RFP. We contracted with Luminary. We're going to be doing, right now we're also working with Luminary on a new website for the county's Office of Economic Development, and this will be on the website, and as soon as they're ready to put this on the website, we're going to do an event to kick it all off. But wanted to just came in at the end of last week, and just wanted to bring it all to you to share. It focuses on our clusters primarily, the food and beverage industry, the tech entrepreneurs, and the thank you, Phil.
She's definitely
But it also focuses on the great reasons to live in Ulster County, like our quality of life and our commitment to the environment. And so so there's articles in here about those topics as well. So I think it's exciting.
Very
and
Suzanne, one thing she didn't say, if someone picked this up, I just, you know, it was the goal, I think, of the county and everyone, is to have them open it up and say, we can come to Ulster County, we have an IDA, we have funding, we can help you with a site selection. You can, it's a one-stop, one-package shop, making it easier for people to bring their business here. So,
make it a little different than what the other counties have. It's something that we're going to have out with all of our other material, tourism materials. It'll be at different interesting places around the county. You'll have copies available for your distribution.
You see the Edge trucks all over, everywhere. They're shooting movies, commercials. They're doing everything.
Hey, this is on my script. You see movies all over the place. They're shooting movies.
All right, I'm sorry. The floor is yours.
You read well.
I think you're going to have a question. It's a guess I have.
Okay, what? Would you like to take it now?
Good hunch.
Hector, you got a question?
So
you're on page. You're on page 3, Hector.
No, I've already skimmed through to page 37. But that said, if you go back to page, let's just go all the way back here for a second. I understand the prioritization of what your department has sort of made as its top priorities, but one of the things that seems to always get lost in the shuffle, and I kind of feel like at this point I'm the an official spokesperson at this point. If you go to page 10, you know, manufacturing, you know, it's one of these things where, again, I was just skimming it, but it does seem to be sort of lost in the shuffle of all the stuff that we have going on here, that manufacturing is not in here at all.
So I think that food and beverage.
But remember, it's not just the 7%, because you get the percentages fine, that's understood. But in terms of when you start looking at wages and you start looking at, you know, those things that, that do sort of help the overall economy, it's a decent little chunk. So hence why my question was just that, was there no inclusion of manufacturing? Did I miss it?
Well, if I consider the food and beverage to be part of manufacturing.
I'm sorry?
The food and beverage I consider to be part of manufacturing. It's a type of manufacturing. It's not your traditional, machinery, whatnot, like Wolftec or Stavo or one of those type of manufacturers, but I consider it to be. So.
Yeah, but we just sort of just didn't include it all, it seems like. I mean, food and beverage, you know, food and beverage. I got it. I understand. I'm not trying to go make a big stink about it, but it's a thing where you know. No, I'm consistent. At least I always talk about manufacturing. So that's it.
Very nice, Suzanne. Thank you.
Thank you.
We can keep this, right?
Yes.
Can I have a couple extra?
As soon as we roll it out, we bought 5,000 of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No, that's
we can
fine.
All take
I,
them.
I know a couple of people that might want to move.
I know. Wonderful.
Herbie, you'll be passing them out on the bridge
can you
tomorrow.
Share this
like
with
that.
The chairman?
So we don't have a toll booth anymore. We can't do it at the toll booth.
I will. Can we pass those out?
Yes, please. So the other thing I have is my quarterly, the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance's quarterly Ellenville Million report. I will let you know the Ellenville Million was created in 2015. We had the 9-component plan. We worked for 2 years to implement that plan as best as we could. We allocated approximately $465,000 of the million. We are now working on amending the plan. Do you need another one? Amending the plan, which needs legislative review and approval. We're working with the Economic Development Alliance is working on the plan right now, and we're hoping to have it to the legislature shortly. So that's that. A few other things I just wanted to bring to your attention quickly. Evelyn Heimbeck is a new senior economic developer on our staff, so we're really excited. She had worked for Deloitte for 17 years as a project manager and lives in Ulster County and wanted to stop traveling and spend more time here. So she's comes with a lot of amazing experience and feeling really lucky to have her, and she's getting up to speed right now. Do you want to call him?
No, continue. I see him down there.
Wanted to tell you about Evelyn. Wanted to tell you about working with the Office of Employment and Training and Tourism. Just want to make sure you know we work really well together. We work together all the time. And right now, Montrain, I don't know, I came a few minutes late, so I'm not sure if Lisa talked about Montrain, but they're hiring, it's the casino in Sullivan County, and they're hiring thousands of people. And they're going to need people from Ulster County as well as Orange and whatnot. And so Lisa has been really doing a Herculean job getting Ulster County's residents, especially those from Ellenville and that area, ready for those jobs. So.
And somehow you could keep track of that. Who goes over?
I'm sorry.
I was side talking with
Dennis at this point. So just really but quickly, I am meeting with my colleagues in Sullivan County and Orange County on the 19th, and we're going to do some joint job fairs, and in order to get people, and we're looking at, in Sullivan County, actually RFP'd some van pools for getting people to work, and they said to me that they thought that RFP may be able to be extended out into the southwestern part of the county to cover that Ellenville area. So I'm working with Suzanne to figure out you know, maybe another employer that's in Sullivan County that we could do on the same route. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping that, that this works out. Regardless, Suzanne and I did talk about a really good idea of running a customer service boot camp in the Ellenville area, and kind of a job readiness boot camp that's maybe only 1 week, really intensive, to get people ready before the job fair starts. So, the hope is that people will, you know, be ready for the jobs.
Very good. Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, two things. The first, actually, I'm glad you stayed. Because one of the things that I would just like to put out there is that, I've said this before, but I'm being a bit more formal, I guess, about it, because we're in a committee meeting. You know, the stuff that we do in economic development, whether it's the IDA, whether it's the EDA, whether it's Office of Economic Development, all this stuff has always, the outcomes and the ripples all sort of play out in Department of Labor, and you end up sort of seeing that in terms of, you know, jobs becoming available, you know, how you're able to, at that point, to kind of plug people in, how economic activity is actually happening, as well as, of course, the recording of any, you know, any of the wages, you know, any of that kind of stuff over the course of, it's all lagged, but it still plays out actually in your department. And Mr. Chair, maybe it might make sense, Mr. Chair, if at some point we actually have Lisa actually come, or maybe we do even something maybe have a meeting, I guess, over, or actually a walkthrough actually of your office, yeah, at some point. That, right, might be of use. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is actually to Suzanne, and I know I'll try to be quick because we want to be quick. With the Ellenville Million, we have spent $300,000?
No. Approximately $465,000.
$465,000? Okay. And so in the areas that we haven't, it's been broadband, high-speed internet, right?
Yes.
Economic development, soft landing, right?
Yes.
And then what was the other one that we're sort of a little bit low in, so to speak, that has not seen much activity?
Water and sewer infrastructure.
But I thought we actually have some bills or some stuff.
We'll have spent about $40,000-$45,000 out of $150,000.
And do we not see us kind of using the rest of that money to be spent, meaning it's like...
Not on that. I think that the goal was... The goal of the Ellenville Million Committee was to have an intermunicipal agreement with, sure, the town and the village. So we spent $15,000 for the village's engineer and $15,000 for the town's engineer, so $30,000 total for a joint study that told us what we need to know to get into the to enter into an intermunicipal agreement. There's now a plan that will be coming before the EDA board. Jonathan Drafkin from Pattern, which is sort of shepherding this project, is coming to the next EDA meeting to talk about they need $8,400 to get to the next point where then the lawyers can draft the IMA. And then they will have accomplished that goal. There won't be any infrastructure, but nobody ever thought that $150,000 was ever going to get us any infrastructure. So we should be able to meet the goal of the water and sewer component with about $40,000 to $50,000.
We'll talk more about this at the EDA, so I'm just to make sure I just got that. Great, thank
very
you.
Very good.
And I'll be reaching out to hopefully you and the chairman tomorrow or the next day to talk about our proposal.
Okay.
Actually, I think Hector's idea is a good one. I mean, Lisa's work has been stellar. There's so many exciting things happening with, through her office. A lot of creative things, and her activity has been amazing. So maybe we'll wait till the move happens. Maybe we'll go oversee the new office and have to do an extended meeting there. I'd love to have, mm-hmm, okay, have really a chance to
nice
share with you some of the work we've been doing. It's a real thing.
Very good. You're all looking forward to it.
And I do just want to say that Suzanne and I dovetail constantly together, okay, all the time. That really, the workforce and economic development are fully aligned.
Like it?
Beautiful, don't you think?
I'm
in it. So just two more very quick things that I thought you'd be interested in knowing. One is, we're putting on an IDA board retreat, so we have a few new members, and we're having a lot more IDA projects than we've had in the 4 years that I've been there, and so putting together a retreat that'll be next week for the IDA members. And then the second thing is Project Till which is a indoor farmer. It's actually a very large, already successful company that's looking to get closer to the New York City metro area. And I had sent out a site selector request a few weeks ago. We ended up with two sites, both in Saugerties, and they're coming next week. So we're putting together a tour of those two facilities next week.
Very good. Where's the idea retreating to?
I was going to ask that. I'm not sure we could ask.
We are retreating to Wiltwyck.
Oh, very nice.
Just for the cost of lunch. They are not charging us any additional money other than...
they're golfing.
Do they
can golf on their own time afterwards.
That's my boss.
They can golf on their own time after the retreat if they would like. But no, it's just... they're letting us use the room and everything else for free. Just all we're doing is just order
very
lunch.
Nice.
Very good.
With the new food vendor?
Yes.
Yes, I'm sure the it'll be very enjoyable.
So. Is it my turn?
Hmm?
Adjourn.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
We have nothing further.
Nothing further? Any public comment? Yes, ma'am.
Just what about Resolution 146? I noticed that you're talking about unemployment, but that's probably the U3 headline number, and I think you might not want to put it in the newspaper, but I think what should also be tracked is U6, which includes short-term discouraged workers, and you might want to add in long-term discouraged workers, as well as people who can only get part-time work, because I don't know if any of you knows about John Williams' shadow stats. He measures unemployment the way it used to be measured before 1994, and the May headline number, I believe, was 4.9%, but John Williams' shadow stats number, which of course includes U6 and long-term unemployed and part-time, people who can only work part-time, that number for May was 22%. So you might want to track that as well as percentage of people who really are employed, because the headline numbers, we all know, it comes from the Bureau of Lies and Statistics, and it's got nothing to do with reality. So it's just a thought. You might want to add that in somewhere. Again, not to put on the headline of the daily agreement, but for the people who really want to know.
For the record, ma'am, your name is?
Ilona.
Thank you, Ilona. All right. Ilona. Anything else? Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
We're pretty much, we have.
Yeah, well.
we need to sit down and talk about all the money we're talking about. So,